I'm Andrea Bernstein in with Amy Holmes. John Hockenberry is away. Amy, do you know where you were a year ago today?
I seem to recall that I was up at the Time Warner Center here in New York City looking toward the Democratic Convention for CNN.
I know exactly where I was. I was on the road to the convention somewhere on Route 70 in Ohio. And at that time, Barack Obama's future was looking pretty bright. But even with the same brilliant political minds that orchestrated his campaign for president,
David Axelrod,
Rahm Emanuel, Bill Burton, Robert Gibbs, et cetera, all these brilliant people working in the White House now, many of them worked on his campaign. Obama's health care campaign isn't working out the way his presidential campaign has. Now, is this a blip? Is this something gone terribly wrong for the White House? Joining us to talk about it, back with us, is Raihan Salam of the New America Foundation. Raihan, great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
So why does it feel like this is all sort of coming apart for Barack Obama when so much in his political life and his administration has gone so well?
I think that, as you suggest, these guys are tremendously bright, but I think they made some basic miscalculations about the anxieties of the public. And I think that what the public fears most is losing what they have. The sad fact is that, you know, as the administration has argued, a lot of people will inevitably lose what they have under the status quo, but they haven't done a very good job of reassuring the public, in part because they've been thinking too politically rather than about educating the public and educating the public about difficult trade-offs that have to be made.
Now, when you talk about thinking politically, I mean, the Republicans must feel like it's Christmas in August. Things haven't been going so well for the Republicans. There have been scandals. There's been Sarah Palin resigning her governorship. There's been all kinds of hand-wringing about who's going to be the, you know, flag bearer for the GOP.
And
then and suddenly,
don't forget Sanford in Argentina.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. How could I forget the big news, you know, affairs in Buenos Aires. And we'll be talking about tangoing in just a minute, Dancing with the Stars. I don't think Mark Sanford is quite yet ready for that, though. But Tom DeLay is. So stranger things have happened. But, you know, talking about the Republican Party, I mean, it's you know, everybody was sort of like, oh, it's all going so badly. And then all of a sudden you have this, you know, these people showing up at these town hall meetings and peppering these Democrats and it looking like the Republicans have some of this grassroots momentum that Barack Obama seemed to be doing so well getting in his corner.
I mean, forget about, you know, town hall meetings. You actually have a situation where Arlen Specter is now running behind Patrick Toomey in Pennsylvania. Pat Toomey, a very conservative Republican who before was barely on the map. No one thought it was even imaginable that he'd be within a mile of Arlen Specter. So I think that the Republicans are in a very awkward spot. They have this great political opportunity to deliver a fatal blow to the president, or so they think. On the other hand, they're doing things right now that are going to undermine their long-term policy objectives. So I think that, yes, they're able to get some political hay out of this now, but it's in a way that I think is going to cause them problems.
But let's shift focus back to President Obama. Rasmussen has Obama's approvals at below 50%. We can see in polling data that, in fact, the public thinks the deficit is the number one problem, not health care, and health care will explode the deficit. This is part of the unease about his plan. You say, you know, his team miscalculated, but couldn't they see this coming like a train on the tracks?
I think in a funny way, they did see it coming. In the beginning, when they were talking about healthcare, they were talking about bending the cost curve. They were talking about how their reforms are going to deliver a more sustainable fiscal future for the country. But then they saw that, you know what, there are a lot of contradictions in that message. And it turns out that coverage expansion, which was the heart of their policy agenda, is actually very, very expensive. And, you know, yet they're emphasizing sort of reducing costs. So that was an initial, you know, source of confusion for the public. Then they start emphasizing health insurance reform, we're going to make your insurance better. And I think that that, in a way, might have been a better and more effective political message initially. Yet again, people are, you know, wondering, how exactly are you going to make this happen? Is this very plausible? They wanted to move very quickly because they thought, you know, we have this huge majority, let's use shock and awe, let's push this through very aggressively, stay united. But then they found that, you know, with blue dogs asking questions, with the public asking questions, it wasn't possible for them to move this as quickly as they wanted to. And so as those questions emerged, as they became louder, then that political strategy started to fall apart.
Joining us now is Melissa Harris-Lacewell. She's a professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. And, of course, we're still talking with Raihan Salam of the New America Foundation. Melissa Harris-Lacewell, we've been talking about President Obama and why he seemed to be able to run such a great political campaign, but why his health care reform campaign doesn't seem to be going so well. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, they're certainly very different kinds of campaigns. You know, when we're talking about an election, it has everything to do with the candidate and a sense of kind of emotional connection, affective excitement about the candidate, and his capacity really as a candidate to create the sense that he was on everyone's side at the same time. I mean, maybe not absolutely everyone, but a very broad cross-section of Americans, so that you had, an unusually large electoral coalition behind him as a, you know, moderate Democratic candidate. Governing is, of course, a different story, because in the context of actually passing policy, it becomes clearer who the winners and losers are, who will be asked to sacrifice and who won't, and there's less of the kind of affective, emotional element of kind of policymaking campaigning. So many of his strengths aren't applicable here.
But Professor,
do you think it's possible that what we're seeing, what you're describing, is something that, you know, sort of the McCain and Hillary Clinton people were talking about during the campaign, which is he doesn't really know how to govern, he's inexperienced?
Oh, no, not at all. I think it's just the difference between, electoral campaigning versus governing work. It doesn't strike me as a incapacity to do the governing, but rather that it's a different kind of governing. And in fact, of course, part of what's happening here is that on the left and on the so he's very much in the center, maybe even the center right. The left has nowhere to go in the context of an election, but suddenly has the ability to be critiquing from the left on this health care plan, as well as, of course, a very vocal opposition coming from the right.
Professor, this is Amy Holmes here, and I have to give a shout out as a fellow Tiger, Princeton graduate myself. President Obama campaigned, though, against George Bush's own deficits, and yet he has been proposing gargantuan spending that is making a lot of citizens really nervous. I think of a previous president, George Bush, who said, read my lips, no new taxes, and he got very punished for breaking that campaign promise. What about Barack Obama?
Well, you know, I have to say that in this case, I'm not certain that it really is the deficit or the spending that is making Americans this anxious. You know, clearly we were willing in the context of a post 9/11 America to spend whatever we felt was necessary to keep us safe, because we felt that terrorism was a real threat and that expenditures on it in the context of the war were acceptable expenditures, and that we were willing to go into debt for them. In this case, I think we have to develop a similar sense that public health, the sense of our capacity as a nation for everyone to be covered, everyone to have access to health care, is similarly emergent, that we have a responsibility to find a way to pay for it. Americans are not necessarily opposed to deficit spending. Our anxiety has to do with our sense of whether or not we think that spending is fair and appropriate and in the national interest.
Raihan Salam, I'm wondering if this healthcare debate is bringing up sort of a fundamental contradiction in the American psyche, which is that Americans really, you know, care about each other, and yet when they think about government action, they get very worried about socialism. Do you think that's what's going on here?
I think that's a really profound issue. I think that when you're looking at coverage expansion under this framework wherein most people are going to keep, or most people are in theory going to keep, their employer-based coverage, it's very awkward, because when you have new funding streams, they're not going to you, the median voter who has employer-based coverage. It's going to some other group of people. And I think there's this anxiety about, well, you know, those are my tax dollars, or is that money going to be used wisely? And I think that there is a certain kind of resentment, and I think that sometimes it's expressed as opposition to socialism. One thing I wanted to say regarding Professor Harris-Lacewell's remark, which I thought was very astute, is this idea that I think that the Obama folks are very interested in a broad politics. They're very interested in transcending antagonisms. So initially, they really emphasize the support of big insurers and big corporations for insurance reform. Yet actually, the public really resisted that idea. I do disagree, however, on this question of debt and deficit. I think that it actually is something that's proved very, very potent for people, far more potent now than it did in circa, 2001, 2002. But yeah, I think that that anxiety about socialism is really about, well, we're under straitened circumstances now. We have fewer resources. And how are those resources going to be shared?
And we have to end it there. Thanks very much, Raihan Salam from the New America Foundation and Melissa Harris-Lacewell, Professor of Politics and African American Studies at Princeton University.
So much to be talking about here. We're creating a healthcare glossary. What term do you want to know about? Please call us at 1-877-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.